Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where Mommy Matters is a double entendre that states and declares that mommies matter, where we have conversations surrounding mommy matters from conception to pregnancy to postpartum, mother and father wounds, dating, mindfulness and self-care, spirituality, parenting, discipline, legislation, money, and so much more. It is my hope and my prayer that the information that you gather here serves as a blueprint for generational and individual ascension. Enjoy. Welcome. This is your host, Cecile Edwards. Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where we discuss all things that matters to moms, from perinatal pregnancy to having children who are grown, because we know that motherhood is full spectrum and we have a lot to say about the different stages of motherhood, not just raising children, but also growing in ourselves and evolving in ourselves. So with that said, I have a special guest. I'm just going to jump right into it because I know we're going to have a nice and in-depth conversation. I want to make sure that we get to it all. So I have a lovely guest today named Laurel Hanfield, and she's going to introduce herself and tell you who she is, what she does, and then we're going to get into some of the topics around mental health, raising children with healthy self-esteem, marriage, healthy marriages, and raising healthy, confident children in that marriage. So let's get started. Laurel?
Well, first of all, hi, Cecile. Hi, everyone out there. Hey. Everyone's doing lovely tonight. And first, just let me say thank you for having me on your podcast. If I ramble on or sound nervous, just let me know, because this is like my fourth podcast. You know, and I'm just kind of trying to get used to it. So just let me know. But anyway, as for who, But as for who I am, again, I'm Laurel Hanfield, and I live in Freeport, Bahamas. I am the founder of Happy Island Press, which creates picture books and coloring and activity books specifically for young girls of color, but basically it's for all girls, just basically to help build up their self-esteem at a very early age.
And that is, first of all, kudos to you for founding a press company, okay?
Because Thank you.
Kind of thing is extremely important for not only women to run those kinds of things, but also for women of color, Black women, to run those kinds of things, because we need to have ensure that we push stories that come through our view. Yes. Okay. I can envision myself publishing a book with you, by the way. So
feel free, send it on over.
It's a goal of mine. It has always been a goal of mine to publish.
Okay.
So anyway.
Oh, okay. Let me know. Send it over.
Yes. So, and then to have, and I know we had this conversation before, and I really want you to share your story about how you even came to publishing the types of books that you're publishing.
Okay. Okay, well, it started out, I've been a writer basically all of my life. I love to write. I started out writing fiction novels. I had a few of those published, but then eventually, you know, I went from adult fiction to young adult and now to children's picture books, because that was my true, true passion. And it all started around 2020 when COVID hit. And that was the time I was like, you know what? This is the time. It's like, no one's going anywhere, so I might as well sit down and get this done, because I have no more excuses. So what I ended up doing was I sat down, I created a few coloring books. I started off with the coloring books. I just wanted something simple. I wanted something to help affirm a young girl's inner beauty. Like when I was younger, and I'm about to date myself here, but when I was younger, as a young Black girl, growing up in the States in the 70s and in the 80s, you know, there were no, you know, I did the Barbie coloring books. I love coloring books, but it was just like the Barbie, and but there was no representation for us. So that's where I wanted to start. And I wanted to start as young as possible. And I thought coloring books, that's perfect. So I created two coloring books, and I later moved on to picture books. I want to move on to like young adult, but also teen and preteen as well, but just like girls' guides. Because again, when I was younger, I did not see the role models to affirm my beauty, like my hair, my skin color, my, you know, my thicker lips, wider nose. There was no role, you know, there were a few, I'll say there were a few, but just in general, there were just no role models to, you know, I could like grab onto and say, hey, that's me, you know, to help me feel better about myself. So this is what I wanted for my children, my daughter. I have a daughter that's 19 years old, and this is what I wanted for her. I just didn't want her to, you know, go through life grasping, thinking that she wasn't beautiful. Now, mind you, this is beauty on the inside as well as outside. I mean, it includes being confident. It includes being strong and resilient. But I just did not see that on a daily basis like you would, you know, other races. So this is why I was like, let me start something like this and grab the girls as early as possible. Because again, like I said, my daughter is 19 years old now. And I had no idea she struggled with the same issues that I struggled with like 30 years earlier. You know, I raised her here in the Bahamas, and I'm thinking she's around other young girls of African descent. So there should be no issue, right? That's what you think. But because of social media, they have access to everybody and everything. And while it's gotten a little bit better, social media still shows them that, you know, they're not necessarily strong, that they're not necessarily beautiful. But the good news is that we are changing the narrative. Now, if you've noticed that there's a lot more of us on social media now, we're trendsetters. We have always been trendsetters, but now the proof is in the pudding. Now you see it all over social media. You see young Black girls accepting who we are, accepting our beauty. Except I love to watch young girls embrace their natural hair. I love to see that, because when I was younger, it was, you know, I was rushing to get a perm and make my hair as straight as, you know, my little, you know, Caucasian friend over here. But today it's not, that's not the case. And I think because of us changing the narrative, you know, we can embrace our beauty much more. And I just wanted to be a part of that, which is why I created the coloring books and the picture books.
Excellent. You just said so many lovely things there. Yes, you did. I, you know, let me start with, you know, you talked about growing up and not having inner beauty and mm-hmm. outer beauty affirmed. And right. And what struck me with that was that we often hear as Black women, oh, you're strong, or, you know, you take care of people. But that honestly oftentimes gets weaponized in some way to mean yes. that you can do things on your own, or you should be yes. a burden for everyone, or yes. you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, okay, I love that, you know, we're taking that and we're using it so that we can love on ourselves and we can love on each other mm-hmm. and get the honor and respect and reciprocity that we deserve in these exchanges. And so that mm-hmm. for me, that's what stands out for me, let alone the physical beauty, right? Because as you say, right. you can grow up in a situation where there's people who basically look like you, but mm-hmm. you know, there's still this preference of beauty mm-hmm. that looks like something else, this standard right. this standard of beauty that looks like something else. And I really never understood that. I'm like, you know, what is that really about?
Right. Right. And where did that come from?
Where did
who decided that?
Who decided that? How do you fall into that mentally when what you see around you is not that? Like what makes you know, and I think it has a lot to do with the power of media, honestly, and what it makes us believe is better. It makes us feel like if we have proximity to it, it's not even that we have some internal qualities, but if we have proximity to an external quality, then we're better, right?
Right.
Which
exactly
is warped thinking. You know, so we take the attention away from trying to develop our inner selves and turn it into, you know, trying to look like or be like or be next to something that has that. And we do that in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Financially, we go out and buy these expensive things so that we look like we are close to wealth, but we may not have that at all. Right. And so, you know, I love that focus on the inner beauty. I wanted you to talk a little bit about like what that looks like in the book. Like, is it affirmations? Is it, what does that look like?
Well, with my coloring and my coloring books, my activity books, I wanted to concentrate on, yes, the affirmations. So the coloring books do have the affirmations. You know, I am beautiful. I am strong, I'm confident. It has affirmations, but also I wanted to just show us in general. I wanted to show our hair textures. I wanted to show our skin colors, you know, and not just that, but you can color, it's a coloring book. So you could basically color in any shade you want. Any shade, it could be light, dark, whatever you want to color the young girl in the book. Now for my picture books, it concentrates more on not really affirmations, but it's just about being you. Just about being you, and that yes, you know, you can imagine being the president as a young Black girl. And I just wanted to show that, you know, this little young Black girl, it's called President for a Day, my picture book. That's my first picture book. And it's just a little Black girl imagining herself. And it's not anything that's totally unrealistic. I want her to imagine herself and to say, yeah, I can do this. You know, because, you know, back in the day now, it was kind of like, I don't know. You know, I see you little, you go ahead and dream, you little Black girl, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen in your lifetime. But what I wanted to say is that, yeah, you can dream it. Honey, please, please dream it. Because it's going to happen. It will happen. I firmly believe that.
I firmly believe in envisioning. I think that in
our, yes,
our current lifestyle, we don't even have the room to envision and dream oftentimes. And that is a huge blockage to our ability to actually receive and achieve some of the things that we desire. Or if we are envisioning, we're envisioning where we already are, or we're envisioning something negative happening, you know.
Right, as opposed to going beyond that.
We're envisioning what we don't.
Positively.
We're not spending that time, as children typically do, right? Children
imagining
spend time in that fantasy world where like anything is possible. And so I feel like we kill that very early with children, with, you know, to indoctrinate them with this is how it is and this is how it's going to be. And so I love that, you know, that you have that a picture book that shows pictures but doesn't give words, because now you can give words to that vision and you can look at that vision in the way that you want to give to look at it. So
And it's funny that you say that. It's perfect because I imagine, which is my second coloring activity book, I imagine it's basically, you can imagine anything. You know, I have a young girl in there who imagines being an astronaut, a chef. Just, she can imagine being a farmer, anything that she wants to be. And that's what I wanted to concentrate on in my second picture book. My first picture book, I'm sorry, my first coloring book is My Pretty. It's entitled My Pretty. And that's just showing the inner and outer beauties. And it has the affirmations that, yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are strong. The second one, I imagine, is just imagining, taking it a step further and just imagining doing and being anything that you want to. You know, you don't have to be limited. You can just, you, if you imagine it, you can do it.
Yeah. It's like, why not? What does it hurt you to think? You know, this is, it's easy for you to have these things that you want. And I have to say, as an adult, part of my process of healing and getting back to my, you know, soul's desires, my imagination, being able to free myself in a way where I could use my imagination the way I want to, has been a huge part. So it's not just for children.
Yes.
You know,
it absolutely isn't.
In fact, in my ebook, I have an ebook, and that is one of my spiritual and psychological self-care strategies. One of them is to be able to use your imagination and, you know, imagine things, just sit and dream and daydream and be okay with, you know, doing that on a regular and daily basis, because it really is a critical thing. But oftentimes we get stalled in doing that because we, you know, are busy. You know, we're always doing this, like running around like a hamster and a rabbit. And it's like, well, when do you have time to even, you know, step outside of just doing so that you can be and you can envision? And I think this is a good way to segue into talking about mental health and self-care for both adults and children, right? Because we're saying, to me, for me, self-care, part of that is being able to rest physically, mentally, emotionally. And that requires a lot of things. So what are some things that, you know, you feel like are critical to be able to give yourself that space? Yes, you can use the, your books, you know, but what are some other things that you have done, for example, to heal from, you know, the I feel like it's psychological warfare when you feel like you grow up feeling like you're the body that you inhabit is ugly. That's psychological warfare.
Yes. And let me just tell you how I started, Cecile. Another point I wanted to make was that, you know, statistics, you know, I've been reading up on this, and it's like statistics show, especially in young Black girls, it was about 70%. And this was about 2 years ago, 70% of those young Black girls that are shown to have low self-esteem go on to do other harmful things to themselves later on in life. Now that includes cutting, that includes promiscuity. For me, it was an eating disorder. Before I even knew, I was about 12 years old. I didn't even know what it was, but I just remembered, you know, I have to be skinny. I have to this, you know, I have to stop eating. I was on the scale, and it just kind of, you know, I was part of that statistic. So therefore I just wanted to catch these young girls as early as possible, because as moms and aunts and, you know, anybody who takes care of a young girl, you think that they're not watching and they're not paying attention, but let me tell you, they absorb every little thing. They see, you know, you stepping on the scale, this, you might not say it, but you know, every day stepping on the scale, dissatisfied with your body, oh, I'm fat and da da da. Now, I don't want to be too hard on, you know, us women, us Black women, because, you know, we have been conditioned. You know, we have been conditioned to believe that we should be this type. Even women in general, but specifically Black women. So in answer to your question about like self-care, that's vital. Because here I am, you know, I'm going to say over 50 and leave it at that. But here
Embrace it. You look fabulous. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Yes. And, you know, and it's like, I still work on it. I still work on it at, you know, my age. So it's like, if I'm still working on it, I know there's younger people still working on it. I want to help them along, but I can't help them unless I do the work and help myself. So self-care for me, I don't even know where to begin, but right now I am in almost beast mode with self-care, because it's so important to just, first of all, love yourself. But you can always say that, but how do you do that? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like enjoy being with yourself, enjoy your own company, because it's like you have to actually love yourself. You have to like yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to exude that to the world. And what helps me are affirmations. Mm-hmm. But more than just words, you have to feel it. And mm-hmm. I've just started meditating. Mm. And it's just meditating on like the word mm. and just kind of just realizing that I just don't have to be this particular person. I don't have to look this way. I don't have to act this way. I can just be who I am. And this is what I want to tell my 19-year-old daughter, you know, and I have two younger sons as well. And I want them to realize that as well. But it's just, you have to, you have to love you. You have to love yourself and then just let everybody else follow your example. So in essence, kind of lead by example. But for me right now, meditation is the biggest thing for me right now, where I just kind of relax, stay out of my own head. You know, those, that self-negative talk that a lot of times that we have.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's just, little things that will kind of pick at you and you don't even realize it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to become aware. And I've been doing that a lot more lately, where I'm becoming aware of like that self, that, you know, just stuff like, oh, you know, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Or girl, no, you're not going to try to wear that tonight. You know, it's just get out of your own head. And again, meditation helps me do that. Just relax and just be me for a second. Just relax and chill. And, you know, that's what helps me right now.
I love meditation. As mm-hmm. some of you, the audience may know, I'm a mindfulness educator.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And that is critical. That has been the game changer for me.
Yes.
In yes. Seeing how I make decisions, seeing the place that I make decisions from, in being able to dismantle the various isms and schisms that have made up my way of thinking, that mm-hmm. outside chatter from everywhere else, and mm-hmm. being able to, you know, whatever your religious or spiritual background is, being able to meditate on what that tradition says about you, which most traditions say that you are a child of the divine and mm-hmm. that you're good, right?
Yes.
It does not talk yes. anything in there about, you know, you have to look a certain way or you have to, it talks about your character.
It yes.
talks about how you are. It talks about the energy that you carry. And so,
yes.
you know, when you get into mindfulness, and this is what I try to say, because people often think that meditation is just you sitting and being quiet. But the truth of the matter mm-hmm. is things come up in, when you're trying to be quiet, things are going mm-hmm. to come up in your mind. And it's how
always
you manage those things that come up in your mind, mm-hmm. and not manage it in a way that is harsh or mm-hmm. Demeaning to yourself. Like, ugh, why do I keep thinking that? More like, huh, mm-hmm. why do I keep thinking that?
What you notice that, right? That,
how did that thought come to be? Is that something that I really believe? Is that true? Questioning mm-hmm. the thoughts that come up is really the essence of mindfulness, right? But you have yes. to still, in order for those things to come up in a way that's going to be conscious for you to start. At some yes. point, you know, you master it and you get better at it, but absolutely you have to start to question things.
Yes.
You have to start to question things that you say to yourself, that others say to you, because mm-hmm. oftentimes, you know, I talk about generational healing, and oftentimes we just do whatever it is that was done. Everything about mm-hmm. us had it, right?
Yes. So yes.
heard certain things, you know, if you heard, grew up hearing, you know, when you're dark skinned, you're not nice looking.
Right.
Oh, you're pretty because you're, even though you're dark skinned, or you're,
right, right.
Your face is pretty, even though your body is not the size that I think it should be, then uh-huh. those kinds of things inform the way that you think, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can tell when it's not right to you, because you can feel it in your body. You can feel yes. when you're saying something, you know, this is where sometimes you get anxiety and start to get, because your body is a living organism. You're talking to your body in a certain way, your body is going to react. You talk love. This mm-hmm. is like scientifically proven. If you talk to yourself a certain way, right? Yes. I'm also a Reiki practitioner. So there are so many studies about how if you talk to yourself, you talk to the water, you know, positively, loving, kind, talk to the plants positively, loving and kind, they're going to grow. The water is going to have molecules in it that are, that look a certain way, but when you talk to it negatively, it changes.
And then it has
to your body.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's the same thing with food. It's the same thing. If you talk to your food, that's where the blessing came from. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like you're blessing your food as you intake it. You love it. It's not because most of us, and I'm, you know, I've been guilty. It's like, as you're eating, you're like, oh my God, okay, well, you know, I can diet tomorrow, or I can, you know, you're already ahead of yourself thinking, you know what, I'm going to eat this now. And you're all stressed out about eating.
You're
going to
exercise it off tomorrow. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't live to earn food. You eat the food that you enjoy and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And love it. I mean, it's like you said, like with the water you drink, once you drink that with a positive mindset, mm-hmm. it's like it nourishes you. It
nourishes you.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care how much water you drink and you know, what is that, spring water or alkaline water or whatever, you know, what they tell you, you know, this is good for you.
Exactly.
You know, yes, but you have to, alkaline and spring water can do the same thing as any other water, but you just have to be positive when you're drinking it. It's like a whole thing. You have to think the positive thoughts and not be stressed out. Like, oh my gosh, I know I'm drinking this water. You know, it's not good for me. I should be drinking this with the pH of this. And that, you just stress yourself out with everything.
And it becomes even more insidious when, especially us as people of color, a lot of our foods are deemed as unhealthy until of course it's discovered to be a superfood. Right.
Yeah.
So we feel like we can't eat our foods, such as, you know, plantains or rice and beans, because they're too carby, right? They're too. But it's like, no, this is the food that makes me happy. And
yes,
you know, yes, I do feel like, you know, in general, humans, I don't even care where you're from, we tend to just eat too much food, but that's a whole bunch of, that's another conversation. But if what we eat is cool, you know what I'm saying? It's like, there's nothing wrong with our food. So when you look at a lot of time, that aspect to it, you know, we are always told, I feel like we're always told, because oftentimes when we go on a quote unquote diet, the first thing we're going to shun, we're going to say, oh, I can't eat XYZ because it's going to make me fat, or it's going to make me sick. And it's like,
really? And that's the first thing you want, right?
It's like,
I can't eat ice cream or french fries. And the minute you put it on the no list, it's like, you know what? I want french fries. I want
exactly.
ice cream.
Exactly. And that's a part of the journey, honestly, is really giving yourself permission to eat the things that you want to eat. It's a process, because I'm going through the same thing, same process.
Yes.
You know,
hello,
becoming, you know, comfortable with what I eat. But also when we're raising our children, we have to be mindful of how we talk to them about food, you know, not restricting them and making them feel like, oh, you're eating that and you're going to gain weight and all of that. Like, all of that stuff lends to their mental health around, because that's what was done to us, right? And that's why we feel the way we feel about eating and food and all of that oftentimes, because we're trying to fit in. So
yes, because I remember, you know, my parents kind of you know, do you really want to eat that? Well, you know, did you have enough? You know, as a young girl at 13, all I hear in my head is, oh, okay, my parents are telling me I'm fat. So, you know, all of a sudden then the diet start. That, you know, 13 years old, I'm starting a diet. Now here I am with my own daughter who's 19 years old. And I'm not kidding. I catch myself sometimes where I'm just kind
of
like, oh, you're going to eat that?
Process. It is an absolute
really
part of the process.
But see, we're mindful of it now. We're mindful so that we can do better. I'm not blaming my mom or my dad or anything, because that's what they've been conditioned, you know, but now we know better. Right. So it's just kind of like we need to do better. Yes. And I hope my daughter does the same.
Unconditioned.
Oh, I know what you mean.
So we have to unravel that. All of the stories about different things, like, oh, you know, why are you crying? Or, oh, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. or you know what I'm saying? All of those things lend to how our youth practice their care of themselves, you know, holding those feelings in. That's a huge thing, right? I've heard a lot men say, a lot of men particularly say, you know, they didn't learn how to communicate when they were feeling certain things when they grow, when, while growing up, right?
Yes.
And of course, we as women, we're made to feel like there's something wrong with us emoting all the time.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Right. It's how you communicate.
It's how you communicate. Mm-hmm. It's how you get things out, because we know that if you don't get out certain feelings, you don't, you know, you don't transform. You don't, how are people supposed to connect with you if you're just a robot too?
Right?
You have to be vulnerable. You have to speak your truth.
And how But now with that, I would also say, be careful though, because then sometimes a lot of people are just complaining just to complain.
That's true.
And you know, I do believe like kind of like a law of attraction, you know, you complain about this, you're going to bring forth more to complain about. So it's kind of like the meditation and the mindfulness kind of help with that, because, you know, before you actually start talking and complaining about this, this is like, is this really necessary? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, and then I feel the need, I don't feel the need actually to complain about this and complain about that, because it's just not a, it's a non-factor now.
And so, it will give you the ability to talk about it more constructively. Right.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
Obviously, if it's on your mind, then you want to say, but it, when you're mindful, you speak about things more constructively. Right.
Yes.
So you're not just saying it so that you can have something for people, somebody to trauma bond with you, but you're saying it so that you can sort of process it, to talk it out in a way that shows your personal values or whatever the case may be. So I think that that would be the difference in, you know, that, and that's an important thing to teach our children, right? So when they come with complaints or they, you know, when you know that, then now you can ask them questions and try to get them to, you know, think it
open
through,
up. Yeah.
You know, instead of it just being something that it's like, oh, they did that. And I, you know, this and that, and this and that, learn how to problem solve, learn how to troubleshoot. And really notice their feelings and notice how they feel in their body when things come up and things like that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that in terms of, you know, not just, you know, being a trauma bonder, as I call it, but really being sort of productive with your feelings and how you feel and how you're processing them. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because in my 20s, I had a friend in my 20s, and I remember we used to just bounce off one another. It was just, oh, well, this happened to me today, you know, and then this happened. It's almost like we were trying to one-up each other on who had it worse, you know. It was that kind of, that got kind of dangerous after a while, you know. It was just kind of like, but you, you don't really see it when you're in the thick of it, but now, you know, years later and being more mindful of it, there's a more, like you said, there's a more constructive way to communicate like your feelings instead of just, you know, chronic complaining.
Right. You start to ask questions instead of just reacting. Yeah. So that's, I think that those things are ways that you can, because being a problem solver is self-esteem boosting in and of itself. Right. So, you know, when you, when something comes up and you have the capability to ask questions and to connect to other things that may have happened and really get down to the reason why you feel some type of way about it. Then you're solving problem, right? You're creating solutions instead of just jumping.
Oh, and I just wanted to add, and then, you know, if it does get overwhelming or you feel overwhelmed, never, ever, ever be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
I mean, just never. I mean, do you have a friend, I mean, if you have to get professional help, seek outside help, never, ever, ever be afraid to ask for help. I know a lot of times in our community, it's like, oh no, you know, it's getting a little better now, but you know, a few years back, you know, we never saw like psychologists or things like that. But now it's just, it's almost like it's a lot. It's a lot for us to bear. So, you know, as adults, if it's a lot for us on our shoulders, you know, you can imagine kids as well. It's the same thing for them. So
absolutely,
never ever.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. For my daughter has been seeing a therapist since, I want to say, maybe sometime last year.
Okay.
And it has absolutely been a game changer. It has been something that,
that's good.
As a mom, you know, I can't, especially when I'm going through my own process of evolving, having
right.
that support, to have someone support her, and then we can sort of work together. Mm-hmm. And I'm a single parent at that, right?
Okay. So, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay,
even
I have
more
a lot
difficult.
On my plate as it is.
Yeah.
Having to then deal with the emotional and psychological well-being of a developing brain child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so definitely I highly recommend getting a child counselor, you know, talking to, you know, getting her their teachers or, you know, teachers that they trust and love, getting, you know, the parents of their friends, you know, all to have those kinds of conversation. Like, you don't keep your conversation shallow. Make them something in depth that's really going to build community where you all are being vulnerable, where you're truly solving a problem and not being reactive, but being proactive and really assisting our young people in developing these life skills that they need to be able to really grow, you know, into responsible adults.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, with that, you have an offering for our audience.
Oh, yes.
About that, the my empowerment guide.
Yes, I have a... Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a girl's self-empowerment guide available on my website. That's for, like, again, anybody that's raising a young girl. It's just a way to get started, what you can do today, right now, just to get started. It's about, I think it's about 7 or 8 page guide. Mm-hmm. It has like little coloring pages. It has everything you need in one page. One guide. It has just everything you need just to get started just right here, right now, today. It has affirmations you can use. It has how to communicate to your daughter. It has like the best way to teach your daughter about self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is go to www.happyislandpress.com and it'll take you right to the freebie. You sign up and download it.
Perfect. And that link will be in the podcast notes, so you'll all be able to see that and go ahead and grab that to utilize with your, and what age groups can you use that with?
This one is specifically for 3 to about like maybe 8 or 9 years old, because it has like the coloring pages, but it could be used for actually any age, because again, it is about just communicating with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore it can be used from the age range is about 3 to 8, but you know, a little, you know, preteen, I'd say, preteen to teen as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you don't even look at the age, you look at the need of the child.
Right.
So, yeah. And that can be at any age, quite frankly.
Right.
Know? So absolutely. So, you know, I think that I love the work that you're doing. I think that it is absolutely necessary and absolutely amazing. And I hope that it spreads far and wide and becomes the norm, you know, the way that we look at and view books and things like that is the norm. It's infused in how we create things.
Right.
I think that that's the true cultural competency, right? It's not like a temporary fix. No, this is the way it is because look, this is what we see around us, right?
Right.
This is the reality of what we're seeing on a daily basis. The what we see on TV and the media or whatever is not.
Yes. Every day.
You know, and so we need those kinds of just reality creating tools in order to help our children to be able to, you know about their well-being, know that their well-being is central and it is okay to focus on that. And giving parents the tools to help talk to their children about those things, as well as unraveling their own conversations that they have around these things. Because sometimes More parents are actively doing the work, but there are some who still need to, you know, need some tools.
Right.
That's okay. So if you could leave the audience with any last words, mm-hmm. what would they be?
Let's see. I'm trying to think what worked for me and my daughter. I'd say definitely communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes. I know it kind of sounds cliche, right? But mm-hmm. it is so true. I just keep my lines of communication open up with my daughter. Some things she'll tell me, some things she will not. But I want to let her know that I'm here. Whatever she wants to tell me. Because like I said, sometimes you're like, oh, my daughter's fine. And, you know, you go on with your own life, but you don't realize mm-hmm. that she's going through something, mm-hmm. you know? And again, even as young as 4, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. you know, they may be going through something. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say it's kind of important to just let them know that you are listening, that you are there. If they ever want to talk, sometimes you can initiate the conversation, you know, no pressure or anything, but, you know, just kind of talk to them. Like my daughter and I, you know, we go for walks, you know, every other morning now. And this is where I catch her. She just wants to tell me everything. Mm-hmm. She tells me everything at that point, and it's not forced. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not asking her. She just tells me all about her life, you know, what she's doing right now. And it's just because we have good communication, but that didn't happen overnight. You just kind of have to work at it and just, mm-hmm. just keep it open.
Yeah. And so you have to create the space. You know, that's the, yes. one of the tragedies of our modern world is that we are so busy mm-hmm. that we don't take the time to create the space where, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That conversation can be open naturally, you know? Right. Everything is about enforcing a rule, you yes. know? Things are not about just having the relationship and being a part of the family. And I know I can do better at it myself. You uh-huh. know, I used to have mother-daughter dates. I'm reinforcing and reinstating those because I'm like, okay, we need to get back, you know?
You know, you do get busy. I'm sure you were definitely busy with the podcast. And
with everything. You know, but, you know, general. That should never take precedence over a human relationship, right?
Right, right. It's
definitely not those of your family members and your children.
Right.
It really should right. not. Because everything else can wait.
Yes.
And so, the other question is, how do you infuse and incorporate them into that process? You know what I'm saying? As much as you possibly mm-hmm. can. You know, how do you teach them about that? Because oftentimes another thing that I always say is that we don't tell our children enough about our childhood and growing up. I feel like uh-huh. that's humbling for us uh-huh. and for them uh-huh. when we remember yeah. those stories. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point because with my daughter, she loves to hear my stories. Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm thinking she wants to hear about, you know, mom in her day when she was partying, mm-hmm. mom with her first boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I'm an open mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I will tell her, I'll say 98% of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there's some stuff. It's like, no. I think
right. You kind of got to wait for that one. Like,
right. But, you know, I'll tell her most of everything. And she loves to hear my stories. My boys, same thing.
They do.
They hear about, what you did as a kid. Mm-hmm. My daughter's 19 now. And I was telling her when I was 19, like, she's in college. She's doing the home program. And, you know, I was in college. I went to Cheney University mm-hmm. and it was just kind of like a different ball game. She likes to hear about my stories mm-hmm. because I was on campus mm-hmm. and, you know, she just loves to hear about my life and mm-hmm. that makes it enjoyable. It's like, I'm not forcing anything on her.
Exactly.
She asked me about it. I tell her about my mistakes, mm-hmm. but I only tell her that of some of them. I won't say but I tell her about that because, you know, A, I don't want her to make the same mistakes.
Correct.
And B, it's just for her, she enjoys, like I said, she enjoys just hearing that, oh, so you're not perfect either.
Exactly.
You know, so she doesn't feel bad when she makes a mistake.
Exactly. It's a way for them to learn also the process of growing and problem solving and evolving. Like,
yes.
You know, matter of fact, I need to do a class on this. I'm going to do a class on this. But it's definitely, you know, this art of storytelling and telling mm-hmm. your children stories about your
yes.
life.
Yes. Yes.
It was so funny because last week was my daughter's birthday, March 14th. And I took her and her friend out.
That's my son's birthday.
Oh, really?
March 14th. Isn't that something?
So I took her and her friend out to dinner and they started uh-huh. asking me questions about my first boyfriend and did I date uh-huh. high school and all this other stuff. And I was honest with them. I was like, I didn't date high school. You know, it wasn't interesting to me. I told them my true views. Like, I don't uh-huh. didn't find boys very interesting. I honestly uh-huh. did not. They were not intriguing to me. I found myself to be more intriguing than anything. So anyway, but yeah, I was honest, you know, but I was also wondering of their experiences right now, right? Because they're very into boys and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It's very interesting. So yes.
Yeah,
so she's 14. She just turned 14.
Oh, okay. It's coming. It's coming.
So, you know, and it's fine. It's a part of growing up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like we sort of weaponized the growing up process. Like, we didn't go through it. It's like, it's a part of growing up. The question is, how do we walk them through it? That's the question.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the question. Not if they're going to go through it and how, and you know, we already know they're mm-hmm. going to go through certain things.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to walk mm-hmm. them through it? That's what we need to use our energy to think about.
That's right.
So yeah, so I appreciate that final thought. And how can people connect with you on social media and such? Email if they want to find out more, or grab a book or grab some books for their programs or anything.
Okay, well, the books you can find on Amazon, the coloring books, the two coloring books and the picture book, you can find on Amazon under Happy Island Press. And then the picture book you can find on Amazon, yes, but also on Barnes and Noble. They just picked it up.
Oh, so some Barnes and Noble as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to get it into bookstores now. I have to look into that.
Excellent.
But I'm on Instagram under Happy Island Press. Mm-hmm. I am on Facebook, Happy Island Press, mm-hmm. And I'm eating on TikTok. I actually started TikTok.
I'm gonna have to friend you. I just started my TikTok, so
okay. I know I'm getting used to it, right?
Yes.
You got to get used to TikTok. Yeah. That's something that's a different animal altogether. So
mm-hmm. It sure is.
Look for me. Definitely, we'll connect.
Definitely, I'm on there as a mother's nursery. That's my other business. So okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Laurel. And thank you all for listening. I hope that you gain some interesting insights and that you're able to find this resource that Laurel has created on Happy Island Press to help build up your children's self-esteem, to help guide you in building up their self-esteem and perhaps your own, you know,
right.
So, because this is a process of learning and growing and evolving. So thank you all for listening and I'll see you next episode. Peace. All right.
Oh, that was so much fun.
It was. Oh. Did you like that? I know it was as informative for you as it was for me. Look, this is a process for all of us. And to keep this process going, I would love to invite you to donate to our podcast. We want to continue to give you high-level content, beautiful content that enlightens and inspires and broadens your vision to elevate you and evolve. So please feel free to go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/mommymatters. We would love to hear your questions and comments as well, so that we can discuss them in future podcasts. And you can email that to momevolve
mommymattersmusic@gmail.com. You can also visit the website and send your comments there. www.mommyevolves.com. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace and love.